Finding this podcast magical? Why not toss a coin to your Witches and a Druid podcast through the Acast supporter feature? It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to show your support now. Welcome to Three Witches and a Druid podcast, a Canadian podcast about paganism in today's modern society. And now, Three Witches and a Druid podcast present The Bard Dav.
Now that Samhain is over, and the Shee have returned to their homes, and the dead have followed the raven song, no longer among us they roam. The wisdom of our ancient past shows us how to ride the storm. For their tombs they swallowed the rising sun, the Mavern is always reborn. Reborn, oh. So come all you people, come and sing with me. Join our voices and sing the long nights away. All over the land a chorus of voices will sing, for the rising sun on midwinter's day. Now turn to ice, the winter is showing its calm. But now the Sun King has rested, and his eyes have returned to the earth. For 3 days the sun has been still in the sky, but the time has now come for his birth. His birth, oh. So come all you people, come and sing with me. Join our voices and sing the long nights away. Voices will sing for the rising sun on midwinter's day. On midwinter's day. Some say Jesus was born today. Some say he is the Mabon. Some say he is the Son of God, while others the Son of the Sun. Some may listen in woodland for the call of her, while others they hear the clash of swords, for the old king will return. Return home. So come all you people, come and sing with me. Join our voices and sing the long nights away. Voices will sing for the rising sun on midwinter's day. On midwinter's day.
and sing the long nights away. All over the land a chorus of voices would sing for the rising sun on midwinter's day. On midwinter's day.
Lovely Gwen's living room, and we are going to talk on this dark winter night on how to bring some light into your life over these next few darker months.
Drinking.
There it is again. I'm Margo.
And I'm Maeve.
Gwen.
And I'm Brian. We're not sponsored, but we are drinking New Scotland Brewing Co. Small batch series, Rose Hips Don't Lie, Sparkly Mead. And what we hope is that they'll maybe hear this and send us more.
Well, I'm not a mead person. I don't like mead, and this isn't too bad.
That is perfectly okay. We will drink your share.
That's right.
Not too
everybody
bad.
Has to like everything.
It is truly rose flavored for those out there who like rose flavored
things. Well, it was
things out
a couple of summers ago, and it kept me going. And then when I saw it posted on Facebook a couple of days ago that they had re-released it, I considered going and buying a flat.
Yeah.
Now, I limit myself to 12.
Well. And then you shared them.
And then I brought some to share.
Very lovely. And I think it goes right into this. This is rose, so this is a taste of summer in the winter.
Right. And honey.
And honey
from the mead, bringing it in. And sharing it with friends, bringing your friends together in the darkness of winter, rather than sitting at home by yourself moping, which I know y'all can't see me out there in podcast land, but I have a raised hand.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that I do on the Witching Hour. And for anyone out there listening, you can listen to The Witching Hour on ckdu.ca at 7 o'clock Atlantic time on Friday evenings. 1 week is me and 1 week's Donnie Adams. And one of the things I do on there is I do pagan days. I talk about the pagan days coming up for the next 2 weeks. And one of the best ways to keep light in the winter is to get together with friends as much as you can.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for a reason because you're like, oh, I don't want to go out, well, maybe it's a day to celebrate, I don't know, some god or goddess or celebration that took place years ago in Rome or the Norse lands, whatever the case might be.
That's one of the great things about paganism. I added this, like, calendar of pagan holidays, and almost every day had something. We have more holidays than the Jews. It's great. So you have tons. Anything you want, it's in there, and you can just celebrate it.
Well, I have a whole book called Pagan Days. It's great, and I read it on the show, and it's a great opportunity, I find, to get together with people or to do some research. Anyone looking, I'm a research kind of girl. Oh, who's this? Never heard of them. I'm going to look this up. So it's a great thing, great way to keep the winter blahs away.
But yeah, seasonal depression obviously is a real thing, and people need to handle that in a variety of ways, and whatever is healthiest for you, be it talking to a doctor, be it talking to a psychiatrist, be it talking to friends, or be it playing video games till 4 in the morning and sitting on the couch getting blazed. Everybody is different, and that's...
No judgment.
Yeah, no judgment. We are not here to provide any medical advice whatsoever. I would not accept medical advice from any of us. But what we're here to talk about is some of the little things that we individually may do that, to bring the light into the darkness, because... Yeah, it's really dark.
Well, for me, for sure, sort of discovering the wheel of the year and understanding the wheel of the year and why we have a time of darkness and the land is fallow and covered in snow, although I'm so grateful for the rain to wash it all away. It really did help me a lot with coping with the darkness and dealing with how dreary it can be, knowing that on the solstice, the sun starts getting stronger.
Right.
Knowing that that has taken place by the solstice, even though it seems like after the solstice is the longest stretch of winter. The sun is getting stronger every single
day.
It's
because it's colder. You really stop and think, it's just as light in November as it is in January.
Yeah.
And you're going, how the heck is that possible? But it's because it's so cold.
Yeah.
It's because the cold comes. And now, no one throw anything at me. Winter, I've never been somebody who's really gotten down in winter. And
that's because you never lived in Winnipeg.
That could be. Because, and I also think there is a theory that people whose birthdays are in January and February are not as affected because we're born then, and my birthday's the end of January. Mm-hmm. Ice was falling from the sky the day I was born. The only thing that bugs me, really bugs me about winter, is when you go out, you have to put on boots and the coat and the this. And am I going to take a walk? Well, then I need long johns. And that's the part about winter that bugs me. The dark can be a bit annoying, but
it's all the maintenance.
In the cold, it's all the maintenance. And I mean, that's the part. I know that sounds crazy.
Those are things that you have control over. For me, that's not a big deal.
No,
it's just whatever.
Part.
I have control. I can, if it's cold, I'll put a sweater on. If it's, I will wear my other boots or whatever. But in my main job, I work 12-hour shifts. And so I leave in the dark, I get home in the dark,
yes.
And I don't have a window.
Yeah.
And many people where I work don't have windows. Windows are for patients in rooms that stay, but you know, in emergency or whatever, clinics, you never see the light of day.
Yes, that is tough.
And it doesn't matter if I'm working day shifts or night shifts, I leave in the dark. Sometimes I could get home in the dark, you know, but there are times when it's really dark that I may still be coming home and it's twilight at 7 a.m. You know, it isn't really dawn yet.
That's very, very difficult. I could see that. I don't have to experience that. Yeah. But that would be very, you know, never seeing the light, like the coal miners back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, when they did it. You know this because you work the long hours. But one of the things besides getting together with your friends, I think, is if it is a sunny day, if it's minus 20, whoop-de-doo, put on your long johns and your hat, go out and get some sunshine.
Mittens, not gloves, and get outside.
Yes,
yeah.
Get outside. It is very, I find that the biggest thing, is to try to go outside in the sunshine.
I was going to say, I'm similar to you. I'm not affected by the darkness quite as much as people I'm around, but I feel it's a large part of that is because I am stay-at-home dad / self-employed. So I'm out all day in the sun, and I get to suck it all up. I'm not stuck in a cubicle or an office or anything.
Yeah, I was home for years and years, so it didn't. You know, I was out with kids in the day, it wasn't nearly as bad.
And I suspect that is the vast majority of the problem is not seeing the sun.
Yes.
And it sticks around a lot less, of course. Mm-hmm. But when you have a chance, go out and do it. One of the solutions, it's not very pagan-y, but one of the solutions we have is that we ended up buying one of those daylight lamps.
Yeah.
Yeah, Karen loves it. She has it at her office, and she feels it really revitalizes her.
And for anyone who can't afford it, check your local library, because here in Halifax, the local libraries, you can sign up to go in there for a half hour.
Yeah, you can book a desk with one.
Yeah, and even just our little library down the hill, up in the upstairs, you go to the right and there's one. You can sit right on the chair and pop that thing on, and a lot of people find they do help.
Yeah,
they do help. Actually, what is that, the term, is it Norwegian?
Seasonal.
No, hygge? Hygge?
Hygge?
Hygge? How do you say it?
I don't want to say
it. Hygge?
Where it's about comforting. And
comforting and embracing that, I think, too. There's that old joke that the worst thing that ever happened to human health was electricity. Because we used to go to bed in the dark, we were up in the light, we were this, we were that, and you just embraced, you know, the dark and the this, and we're also go, 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 and nothing changes in winter, and we're still expected to go, 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 go. That if you can just embrace that downtime to like, oh, this is fantastic, you know, at the same time.
Most experiments that involve sleep and going to sleep when it gets dark and getting up, even if there is that medieval, even when you wake up in the middle of the night and you have those couple of hours or maybe an hour in the middle of the night where you're awake, but it's that quiet reverie type, and there's no stress, and then you just fall back to sleep until daylight. People are always healthier and happier when they observe that. I mean, electricity I know a lot of people complain about the cost of electricity. I think here maybe it's out of line where we live, but the benefit I would pay, don't tell Nova Scotia Power, but I would pay 10 times what they ask for the things that we have because we have electricity. But the things that we have lost is our connection to the planet, our connection to the seasons and the seasonal changes, and how every other being, plant, and animal around us is following that seasonal pattern, and we are still following a mechanistic clock that is not tethered to everything else. So no wonder there's seasonal affective disorder. We're just affected from the season. We're trying to mitigate symptoms as opposed to solving the issue, which is we should be changing our lifestyle.
Yeah, and even now you work in a hospital, so you have to work a night shift. You know, people need the hospital at night, but there's many people working a night shift in other places, and you know, whether it's in factories or this or businesses, and then you go home and you sleep all day. Mm-hmm. And you must find that extremely difficult. And anybody who's working the night shift to come home and sleep in the day, especially in winter when, you know, when you get up at 4 o'clock, well, the sun's going down.
Yeah.
As opposed to in the summer, you get up at 4 o'clock, sun's not going down till 9:30.
Yeah, you still have that shot of sun.
Yeah, it is difficult. It's very interesting thought, but get outside. And the other thing that can be helpful, and I have to force myself to do this, but I guess this counts with taking a walk. When I was doing this subject on Friday evening, last Friday evening, there's this thing I researched years ago about looking in your astrological chart for different elemental deficiencies. If you're, you know, don't have a lot of water or earth air, if you're low on lack of fire signs or lack of fire in your life, some of the things that help to bring fire, which is the sun and can help you, is, you know, eating citrus fruits, spicy foods, rigorous physical exercise, sex, things like that. And it's dark much earlier. Put the kids to bed earlier. Have more sex in winter. And also singing and dancing and acting out plays and things like that. I know it might seem silly, but do your favorite monologue or sing while doing the dishes and dance a bit. Things like that will help you with your lack of fire element. And fire gazing, light a candle and fire gaze away. Help you with your lack of fire. So that can help you through winter.
It's funny you mention that because I left myself on fire.
Oh, no.
It's perfectly fine. I got to go buy new gloves, but I didn't.
Usually that's a welder, not a woodworker. So yeah. How did that happen?
Yeah, no, it's the burning of the wood.
Yeah.
So we've talked about this before, about how our calendar doesn't quite fit here in Nova Scotia. And I just listened to an episode of New World Witchery. If you haven't listened to it, it's very good. On Year of the Witch with Temperance Alden. And yeah, she talks about how the calendar, of course, is just an arbitrary thought. Necessarily, like, there's things on her calendar that, yes, Samhain is on roughly the 31st. It's a festival. It's a multi-week festival. Mm-hmm. Same with Yule. So these things aren't necessarily arbitrary dates. And we've talked about what are some of the holidays here that do not line up.
Spring equinox.
Yeah,
how many times have we been scraping the ice off of our cars to go to ritual?
So the idea of the equinox being balance of light and dark, but in our heads, I think a lot of times these festivals are true to the light dark, because here at winter solstice, midwinter, it's halfway between the fall equinox and the spring equinox. And if winter lies in the middle, that makes sense. And it's the nadir of the, you know, the sun cycle. That all makes sense. But in a lived sense, we don't feel that winter till January. Even in Winnipeg, even when I lived in Northern Ontario, we had snow in at Samhain, but you didn't feel the harshness of winter until January, February. So that idea, the light is increasing, but that lived experience doesn't line up the same way.
Freezing.
Yeah.
And you really, Canada, Nova Scotia, maybe Southern Ontario is a little different, but in general, like you say, the light lines up, but your environment,
the
environment does not reflect that at all.
Which is why I still say we need to start a campaign for people to leave their Christmas lights up after Christmas until maybe the spring equinox. Don't call them Christmas lights. Call them winter lights.
Yes.
Yes.
They did that the first year of COVID, didn't they? It was a big push for that.
Yeah. Their lights up. Like, to me, that does bring a lot of cheer driving home at the end of a shift.
I won't lie, this is a little off topic. My new favorite holiday tradition is people trying to justify their $500 10-foot skeletons they bought at Home Depot by keeping it up over Christmas.
And how creative they can be with those. I agree.
That brings joy to my heart.
Yeah. We did that. My daughter and I did something like that. The first year I was divorced, we said, let's do something totally different for Yule because we were both feeling her father being gone. We got a white Christmas tree. I'd never had an artificial tree in my life. Wow. We left that tree up until August. We decorated it for Valentine's. We decorated that tree for St. Patrick's Day and for spring equinox and May Day and summer. And we just went to, the Dollarama and bought the different things to cover it. And finally by August, it's like we got a kitten and it started to jump all over it. We said, okay, we went down. We kept it up. My sister said, I can't come to your house. You're giving me anxiety attacks. At Christmas tree. Thinking I need to be wrapping something. We did. We kept it up.
What the hell?
That's awesome. I like that.
Once upon a time, I would have, white liberal guilt or whatever over running my Christmas lights too much because of how much they, the unnecessary use of electricity. I do have my oil-fired water heater, but all my electricity is solar now. But anybody can buy and I think use your Christmas lights guilt-free with me on with the little
LEDs.
They cost pennies.
Yeah, it's not the old steam powered ones.
It's not like the older people here get a little nostalgic and it doesn't have that ambiance of the old incandescent bulbs.
It doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't. But the fact that I can for pennies a week, let alone pennies a day, leave those LED lights on. They do brighten up a person's drive home. They do they do lift your spirits.
I have a string of Christmas lights in my living room that are on 24/7.
Yeah. I have a string of lights in my Christmas lights in my living room that I could turn on any time.
365 days of the year? Because I know Margot's are 365 days of the year.
No, they're not on, but they're there to turn on. They're around, and you can't see them outside. It's on the inside. You know, Gwen, as you were saying that, have you ever considered getting a timer and have your lights turn on when you're getting home at night?
That would be lovely. I actually have no lights because I have no outside electrical outlet, which is a deficiency I am going to fix. I did try the solar-powered individual, you put them out, and they, in the darkest times of winter, they work for a good hour and a half, So they come on at 5:30 when it gets dark and I don't get home till 7 and they're done. Fading out and done. So I had like an hour and a half. So as they fade, as they no longer work, I didn't bother to replace them. They're lovely in the summer. So I will buy sets like that for summer twinkle lights around the patio or something. But yeah, they haven't tweaked that system enough to work for.
Well, you could put them around the inside window. I could put some inside in the window.
You're right, to shine out.
To turn the light on when you're coming home.
Yeah.
I've also often thought, it's not really pagan related or anything, but not that I ever want to move again, because I absolutely do not want to ever move again. I know I'm going to have to at some point, but no time in the future. To have a housewarming party and it to be, if people are going to bring gifts, it has to be a lamp. Just whatever kind of bizarre little weird lamp. I love lamps.
I've got a ton of lamps
that I don't use.
And you give lamps as gifts. I've had a number of lamps over the years as gifts from you. There's one in there right now. Yeah. Anyway,
I just think, bringing light
home. Giving somebody light.
Yeah. That's actually really, joy. That's really Hartwell.
Yeah.
I
think that would be a very cool way to celebrate a housewarming.
Yeah.
Yes. And again, it kind of feels into this whole bringing light into someone's life. And
Well, the typical gift for like a housewarming is a plant, which you're probably, depending on who you are, you're probably just going to kill it.
I actually still have the shamrock
that I gave
that you gave me however many years ago.
Well, you're the exception. You work in a
No, look, no.
That's the Shamrock is the exception. It has a very strong will to live, apparently.
It does. Yeah. And it lets, see, the only reason I keep any other plants alive is because when the Shamrock needs to be watered, it goes bleh. And you water it, it goes boom, I'm back. Mm-hmm. And so I know when the Shamrock needs to be watered, mm-hmm. everybody needs to be watered. And then it's all good.
I have this one type of ivy that it's really impossible to kill. I've had breaking snippets of it off for 25 years now. But I can grow you a vegetable, but I'm not good at houseplants.
At houseplants. Because that would be a way of bringing summer into winter. Mm-hmm. On the light theme, I suggest to people, if you have a Yule tree, if you do an evergreen tree, a Christmas tree for the season, very often, traditionally, there would be a star, but many years ago, sitting around the table with a bunch of pagans, we were talking, and somebody had said to me, I always thought it should be the sun, not a star, for pagans, right? So haunt your thrift shops. Mm. Look for old Christmas things and find a tree topper that you can make a project out of, changing that lighted star into a sun.
Sometimes you can get those wicker balls.
Mm-hmm.
Spray paint it with glitter paint. Get a pack of lights.
Pop them in there.
Yeah, pop it in that comes with the.
Yeah.
You know, the battery's already attached.
Yeah. Or run it into the rest of the lights, something like that. Mm-hmm. But
I also typically will cut a piece of, and I always used to do it from your tree because you were the only person I knew with a real tree, get a branch to put on the dashboard of my car. So mm-hmm. when the heat came on in the car, I could smell.
Well, come on by. My tree is right sitting outside in my car in your driveway right now.
Well, I have access to fir and pine and stuff mm-hmm. now. But yeah, every time I walk in the cooler at work, it's like, I just want to stay here. But see, when I was young, I had allergies so bad, and we're talking late 60s, so if there were artificial trees available, they were outrageously expensive.
Yeah, and ugly. Hideously ugly. Yes. We always had a natural tree because
our tree would go at Christmas Eve and come down Boxing Day.
Yeah.
And I would suffer the entire time. But
I'm so lucky. I have so many respiratory issues, but allergies is not one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just... I watch as my friends suffer, and I'm like, pollen, put it in my face. But we have a real tree, and it's funny, one of the first traditions Karen and I had is we went and cut down our own tree, and unfortunately, her dad passed away, and we kind of forgot where we went and cut the tree down, so we've been buying it from a tree lot down the hill from us ever since, mostly because we that lost knowledge of where the tree place was. So one of the things I do to bring light into my darkness, and it's a little off topic from what we've been discussing, I try to do a lot of volunteering and charity work, because I feel one of the things when I get personally, when I start to get down, I start to focus a lot on myself. And if I'm doing something for others, then I focus a lot less on my own flaws, which aren't really there. I'm just amplifying them in my own head.
Yeah.
So last year and this year, we're doing the Yule Basket Exchange through the Pagan Assembly, which is amazing. But in February, as a Grove, we try to do a food drive, because a lot of the food banks still receive a lot of stuff at Christmas, but then they die out.
Yeah,
so February, March, we try to do another food drive. So that's enjoyable, something mm-hmm. for us to do. Yeah, I find reaching out is what brings a bit of light into my darkness.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. I like that a lot.
Volunteering, I do quite a bit of volunteering.
Yeah.
That always helps. Always helps in everything when you're feeling down about yourself.
Yeah.
Volunteering and helping others makes you feel worthwhile, makes mm-hmm. you feel like you're, I'm using the word important, but that you matter, I suppose.
Yes.
That you matter.
That you matter to people, that I'm contributing, and I find that very, very fulfilling.
I even say in my job at the hospital, there's so many people at the hospital that have really linchpin jobs where they matter if they're there. So even though it sounds like, this is an amazing job at the hospital, I matter, I don't really feel, I often say, a drunken monkey could do my job. I could be interchangeable and nobody would really notice. But when you are volunteering, you know that you matter. You know that you matter, and it does change your outlook, and it brings that little bit of meaning to life, that being that just that mechanistic go to get up, go to work.
Which I'm terribly caught up in, like the whole go to work, come home, crash, get up, go to work, come home, crash.
One really good thing is you work with flowers all day.
Yes, I mean, this is the other thing. It's my work is enjoyable, which is probably why I do too much of it. You know, why do I want to leave? I don't want to leave.
I want to stay here with these flowers.
Yes. So.
And that's the thing, is like you found a job that makes you happy.
Yes.
So, and that's also part of it. Like, there's this big movement, right? I'm not promoting anyone to go quit their job tomorrow, but there is this big movement over COVID where a lot of people realize, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this job that I'm miserable at, I hate, and I'm not getting anywhere in life? So we have this giant job shortage in restaurants and bars, and people are like, why are people coming back? Oh, it's because of CERB. No, it's because people...
They have other jobs.
Yeah, they bettered themselves over that closure.
Exactly.
They moved on.
And for some people, maybe that job would have been fulfilling because, quite frankly, there were not all of my retail jobs, but in my early years, I did retail. And I really enjoyed what I did. And if in the right retail spot, I think I would enjoy going back to retail. But you don't feel like you matter. You feel in most cases that you are easily replaceable. And it's only in the heart of a COVID pandemic does anybody consider you essential, which you truly are, but nobody lets you know that. And all of a sudden now, not only are they not essential, they're not worth a living wage.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, within our province, that's our premier was, you know, foolish enough to say out loud, no matter whether he believed, you know, what his beliefs are. Oh, sometimes you should just keep your mouth shut. Yeah, if only those people maybe felt like they mattered when they truly do.
Yeah.
Things might be a little different.
That person working in the grocery store, where would you be without them?
Yeah.
You know, and Tim Hortons or McDonald's was let's go to the drive-thru. It was the only thing you could do for a couple months.
Yeah.
Like they're very important to people's mental health.
But I think we're at this weird point in our society right now where I think society is actually quite happy, just incredibly stressed and full of anxiety because of COVID and whatnot. And as we watch as grocery prices skyrocket and inflation skyrocket, people are starting to realize, well, hold up, why are groceries going up in price? Your CEO just got a $14 million bonus. Wait a second.
Yeah.
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 I think, too, a lot of people are really liking working from home.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And a lot of businesses have discovered that, companies discovered, well, we don't need everybody in here.
Yeah.
We can get a smaller place. People can work from home. They can be more relaxed. They don't have to worry about traffic. And then even families are going, well, why do we have two cars now?
Yeah.
Why do we do this? Like, we don't need this. We don't need that. So a little bit of that is happening.
Yes.
A little bit of that is happening.
And I think long-term, that's going to make major internal differences for people, that they will find a happier spot for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very interesting. I mean, who knows how long COVID will go on.
Yeah.
That nice new variant. But anyway. But another thing, too, is now not everybody has a fireplace and all that, but get yourself a bunch of red candles.
Yeah, burn a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
If you want to bring light into your life during the dark times, burn shit.
Get out of your backyard and burn shit. Just because it's winter doesn't mean you can't go out to your fire pit in the backyard.
It's actually safer
and burn
in most cases
stuff.
To have a fire in winter. Bundle up, sit around the fire, and
this is probably the most pagan part of this conversation so far.
Yeah,
just go burn a bunch of stuff. You'll be fine.
Do you remember? My mom used to barbecue all winter long in her rag.
Oh, I do. Yeah. The barbecue is right outside the door.
Yeah. Do you remember? remember that one eclipse in whatever January or February when it was minus 27 and we're all out at the point on Brussels Cove Road? We were all freezing, but we were out and it was clear.
And we were out. And then we came back to my place and we had fondue. So we had food under flame, right? Yes. Which is, you know, that flame there. That was something I was going to say. Well, we could talk about food, and I know maybe you did, but if you can incorporate a little flame with your food, it brings
fondue.
That. Fondue is the food of whether you've got the grill stove or whether you've got...
I have, and they, who knows who they belong to, my grandmother or something. I got that avocado 1970s green fondue pot still in my basement.
Dave and I got that as a wedding gift, and that avocado green one, and we still use it. We've had some of our best parties
with the avocado grilling
that food while we sit around, because you eat slowly, you talk slow, you talk, and there's fire.
Yeah, you're eating from that communal cooking source, too. Yeah.
Have you seen, you can even get, it's technically for kids, you can get that portable s'more-making flame. Have you seen that?
No.
It's an indoor s'more-making whatever, and it's got the little containy thing or whatever, and it's like a little, like a
fondue
fireplace
works in a candle. You can make a s'more in a living room.
Yeah, and it comes with the marshmallows and everything. It's like, look at that, indoor s'mores, tabletop s'mores.
That's another weird little thing for light in the winter. We tried to make those chocolate, like the hot chocolate bombs, and it didn't work. We just bought them, and they're amazing. They're so fun.
I bought some of those today, the hot chocolate bombs.
Yeah,
those are
just
awesome.
Watching those. Bleh. Yeah. So good.
Add extra marshmallows, though.
Yeah.
I'm an extra marshmallow.
Oh, speaking of pampering decadence, I need to get that mug cake recipe from you so I can fill up my jar. You know what I've discovered? Big hunk of cream cheese in the middle of that puppy
before
you put it in the microwave.
Last for a day, I gave Argo, who's always on the go and might need to pick me up a bottle of homemade mug cake, and I didn't know if I never heard anything back.
Yes, it's
3-2-1.
Yeah, 3 tablespoons of mix, 2 tablespoons of water, 1 minute in the microwave. I have a big mug, so I double it.
It's easy to make, though. All you need is an angel food cake mix and a chocolate
is that what it was? Well, like I say, big chunk of cream cheese in the center of that.
I have tried so many homemade ones, and the best one that ever worked was that 50-50 angel food cake and cake mix.
Yeah, wow. And you can make any flavor of cake mix, but half of it, one has to be angel food cake.
I wonder what that is. Oh, because it's got the eggs in it.
Because I think maybe the dried eggs.
Everyone's writing down, what do you can make that yourself. We don't have to pay $4 for 3 packs in the grocery store. Very easy to make yourself. And burn those candles. Get right. Go outside.
But at the same time, be safe. Don't burn down the house.
Well, that was my other thought. Yeah. Don't leave the candle going
all night.
Don't leave it going. Also, I was thinking one of the things I never seem to have turmeric drink, like turmeric and almond or soy milk or something. Like, I'll do a heat up thing. That's a winter thing for me.
Yeah.
And it's gotta be just because I associate it with that. But I don't have that ever through the summer. Are there any things like that food wise that you only do in the winter?
Hot apple cider,
yes indeed.
Yeah.
That brings that apple.
Yeah, if it wasn't me here tonight, the drink I was gonna bring was it was funny enough.
A cocktail?
It's a fertility hot apple cider.
See, and I just remember whenever, talking to people at Little Mysteries about, well, this stone is good for fertility, and everyone would go no, it doesn't have to always be that fertility.
No.
Creative fertility, financial fertility.
Unless it's a Shiva Lingam.
Yeah, no, there's only one use for that.
Unless it's a Shiva Lingam.
Or a geode. Don't put... don't put a geode in your bedroom if you don't want to get pregnant.
Just saying.
I know at Little Mysteries, I always thought we should have our little wall of miracle babies because we had so many women come in.
Really?
Yeah. I say, but it was pretty on my end table.
Mostly it was, how can I get pregnant? What can I do? And I'm like, well, here, this is what you do. And then they come back, like, you know.
I think like when we were trying for Atticus, we kind of went into it like, not pessimistic, but like, we're probably going to have to take a while trying this.
Yeah. And
Karen, first time, it was a geode. Karen put her legs up on the wall. I don't know. and like, bing, bang, boom, right off the bat.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, okay. We're kind of hoping we get a little bit more practice in. But yeah, geodes.
Yeah.
And raspberry leaf tea.
Yes.
So there we are. But that's not an issue. I don't know if you care to go in for more, but for three of us,
well, eventually, we want another one, but we need a house before we get there. We discovered she was pregnant because we were at the farmer's market one morning at like 8 a.m. And she's like, man, you know what I want? I want a lobster roll. And I'm like, and her mom was like, nobody wants a lobster roll at 8 a.m. Yeah. other than pregnant women. Yeah. So we went and got a test. There we are. Lobster rolls are great. It's not an 8 a.m.
Well, you know, I remember when my daughter was in like grade 1 or 2 or something like that, they were figuring out, speaking of lobster rolls, figuring out when everyone in their class's birthday was. And March and August were really like tons of birthdays, and a few others spotted throughout. Yeah. Like more than half the class was in March or August, and I was laughing, and I, you know, the teacher was, you know, that was up on the wall. We went in. I said, well, you know why that is? Because I sat there and did the math in my head. Christmas parties and spring fever.
Yeah,
that's what it was. People, wow. Christmas around the holidays, drinking, having a good time, and spring fever, March and August. So there we go. It was very, very interesting. So there we go. So that's what I think. Anybody else have anything else?
No, I think we're good.
Good. So yeah, burn lots of red candles. Don't burn your house down. Get outside.
Share spend time with your friends.
That's a biggie.
That's the big one. That's probably one of the more pagan aspects, is getting together, spending time with family and friends, enjoying yourself, probably drinking mead from New Scotland Brewery. Just another plug there, you can send us some. It's just merriment over the dark.
Yeah. And sometimes you don't feel like going out. It's like, no, I'm going to read this book, or I'm going to watch this on TV instead because it's dark and it's cold. Force yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you gotta force yourself.
Yeah, it's not an every night thing.
No,
try to get out. No matter how introverted you are, just hang out with that one cool friend that you actually enjoy your company.
Yeah, and I find sometimes you have to force yourself. And for me, it's not because it's cold mostly. It's cold is making me have to. I gotta put on this and this and this. I love just slip on your sandals and walk out the door. That is a much better thing for me. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in. And if you would like to comment or make a suggestion for us, you can get a hold of us at our Facebook page. If you did have a criticism of any kind, please be polite. Just so long as you're polite. And a shout out to all of our supporters, which is wonderful.
Three Witches and a Druid podcast would like to take a moment to thank our amazing Patreon supporters. Today, we shout out to Danny, Tania, Sarah, Lore, Kay, Linda, and Jennifer. Without your generous support and contributions, we couldn't bring you this magical content, and we thank you for listening.
So until next time, everybody merry meet.
Merry part.
And marry me again.
Blessed be.
This has been Three Witches and a Druid podcast. Thanks for listening.